that you are there. And like I've been saying since 5 a.m., that we've got a great conversation ahead of us this hour, because we're talking about Parkinson's disease. And that's exactly what we're here to talk about. You can watch live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right, Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook and on YouTube. Feel free to also let us know if you're a person impacted by Parkinson's disease. Let us know exactly what you've had to deal with in recent times, even in the past. We'd like to hear your experiences as well. So I've got my guest seated here in the studio. And feel free to chime in when it's time to have your say. I have joining me right now, Omotola Thomas, the founder of Parkinson's Africa. Am I correct, Omotola?
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Awesome, awesome. I also have here Maureen Desalu, the chair, board of trustees, Adeomi Desalu, Parkinson's Foundation. Maureen, how are you?
Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Lagos, let's jump into our conversation this morning. Amotala, let's talk Parkinson's disease. What can you tell us about this disease?
Parkinson's disease is it's basically a brain disorder. It's a neurodegenerative brain illness that causes movement issues. Usually the symptoms start slowly. People, and for those who are watching online now, my hands are trembling. Most of the motor symptoms are tremors, stiffness, rigidity, and slowness of movement.
Help me move closer to your mic a little bit so people can hear you.
Is this better?
Yes, a lot better now. Thank you.
So, and then there are also other non-motor symptoms, which are sometimes even more debilitating than the actual motor symptoms. Anxiety, pain, depression, apathy, fatigue, and a host of other symptoms.
Why did you start Parkinson's Africa?
Well, I got diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2016 at the age of 35. Okay. And I was living in the UK. I live in the UK.
Okay.
And in the UK, my access to healthcare is completely independent of my socioeconomic status. Whatever services I need, healthcare services, medication, I have access to it.
Okay.
But even with this access that I have and the support that I have, I still struggle very greatly with Parkinson's disease. And more importantly, when I got diagnosed, I did not feel like there were enough support services for Africans impacted by Parkinson's disease. And so out of that, I had the inspiration to establish an organization that would support and empower Africans impacted by Parkinson's.
Interesting. Maureen, let me come to you. Let's talk, Maureen. Adeomi Desalu, Parkinson's Foundation. What birthed that? What caused that? Tell us the story. I know there has to be a story behind it. What's the story?
Thank you. I was married to Adeomi Desalu, who was an electrical engineer and a mathematician, scientist. And he was impacted by Parkinson's disease for about 11 years, we believe. But the first 5 years of that, we didn't know what he had because he'd suffered a stroke at some point, but fully recovered. And then we now started noticing the rigidity. His face was expressionless. And then he had a shuffling. He had a gait, a funny gait.
Yeah.
And then he was shuffling when he walked around and just had difficulty getting up or rolling over in bed. And eventually somebody said, question Parkinson's. Now, unlike Omotola, who has a tremor dominant part, the aspect of Parkinson's, my husband didn't have any tremors at all. And when we did everything we could to work with the disease. He had access to the best medical care. We were in the United States a lot of the time.
Okay.
And we learned that exercise was the only thing that would produce dopamine in his brain. Therefore, we bought a lot of exercise equipment. When he passed on in 2019, we looked at the equipment and the family thought, what do we do with this? We can't give this to one person. It's actually better if we allow a lot more people to use it. Therefore, we decided we would set up a foundation and set up a center where people would come to exercise and create dopamine naturally. And at the same time, different things then came up. We met Omotola and found that there was a whole array of things we could do to support patients and caregivers living with Parkinson's in Nigeria. And so we registered a foundation and set up a center.
How has it been so far?
Early days yet. We actually only opened on April 19, and we've had some walk-in patients. We plan to meet a lot more patients through the Movement Disability Center at the University of Lagos, College of Medicine, and at the University of Ibadan, Ife. But the Lagos community is our first pilot scheme.
Okay.
And we're hoping that we'll be able to create a community and provide support, have fellowship with patients, between patients and caregivers alike, and just support one another, basically, in the process.
Omotola, let me come to you. Let's talk. I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier about how you were diagnosed as 35. Is there any relations, any connection between Parkinson's and age? And then we can extrapolate it to Parkinson's and gender. Any connection between these two?
So I'll start with the gender. It's a bit. It's men are more at risk of developing Parkinson's than women, but it's a very slight tilt. I think it's 55 to 45%. But in terms of age, the vast majority of people who have Parkinson's disease are diagnosed when they're 60 or above. So it is generally thought to be an illness that affects the older population. But there are many people who are diagnosed under 50, and those people are said to have young onset Parkinson's, like I do.
Let's talk about the management of Parkinson's. How is it like? You are the one, you are impacted by this, so you could tell us from a very solid experience part, what is it like managing Parkinson's?
So, like you said, I will explain from my personal experience. I'm not a medical doctor.
That's right.
So management takes on different forms. You have medication to help replace the lost dopamine in your brain.
Okay.
There are other therapies like physical therapy, occupational therapy. And particularly, I think one of the most important things is what Mrs. Desalu said, which is exercise. Exercise is one of the only things that has been shown or proven to slow down the progression of Parkinson's disease. And it doesn't have to be anything extraordinary. Like, research has shown that even, I think, 2.5 hours of exercise, brisk walking a week, is very beneficial for people with Parkinson's.
Let me come to you, Maureen. And this time, let's talk awareness. You have started your foundation and you have embarked on this awareness drive. How is it like? How would you assess it? What do you think the awareness level is like on Parkinson's disease?
I would say close to zero.
Oh,
I don't think that a lot of people out here in Nigeria and Africa generally are aware of this disease. We are an educated community in this room. But we also know that we're in a top 10% of our society. Therefore, what is more alarming is, how is this treated in my village? How is this treated, you know, even in the marketplace in Lagos, where somebody is just standing there and shaking. Somebody's trying to hold a bottle of water and he spills half of it. And because we're supposed to be religious and we're also very diabolical and we're very suspicious, it's like, oh, it must be a curse, or he's it's home trouble, somebody from his village is on his case. And rather than try to find a way to support the patient or help the patient, we isolate them. So it's the stigma. In fact, we have an awareness walk this Saturday.
Okay.
And one of the things we have on our T-shirt is, we can't stop the shakes, but we can stop the stigma. And we cannot stop the stigma unless we start to talk about it, unless people actually begin to realize that this is not spiritual. This is a neurodegenerative disease. Mm. And more importantly, as we live longer, the life average lifespan of a Nigerian 40 years ago was like 42. Mm. Then it's gone up into the 60s. We are going to age better. Mm. And as we age, we're more prone to neurodegenerative diseases. And it's important that we tackle them and we actually begin to understand them so we can support our community when something like this happens.
I totally agree with you, Maureen. For those listening to us, let's have you know that in a short while, I'll be coming over to take your thoughts via the telephone line and all the channels that we've got for you today. But before we do that, let me quickly announce some data that I've got here. More than 10 million people worldwide are living with PD, that's Parkinson's disease, according to Parkinson's Foundation. An estimated 4% of people with PD are diagnosed before the age of 50. And the last one that I'd like to share, at least for now, is that men are 1.5 times more likely to have Parkinson's disease than women. Maybe I should chip this in. According to research, over 5 million Nigerians are above 65 years. Over 5 million. Above 65 years, and these 65-year-old people are at risk of developing Parkinson's disease. And perhaps I need to drop this in there as well, that Parkinson's disease is the most common movement disorder in Nigeria. That would bring me to Amotala once again, and this time let's talk access to care in Nigeria. What have you found out?
Access to care in Nigeria and across Africa is very limited. There are issues with availability of the drugs, accessibility, affordability, and acceptability. Mm. What we have found is that many patients are unable to afford Parkinson's medication. So one of the things that we are doing at Parkinson's Africa is partnering with other foundations, other donors and supporters to provide access to free medications for low-income patients who are unable to afford it. And right now we're working with Luce Hospital and we are providing, through our partnership with an organization called the Fire Foundation, we're providing 200 patients with Parkinson's, with access to free Parkinson's medication.
Right. At this juncture, let me open up the phone lines and hear some. But if you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, feel free to drop your comments on there. I would gladly take them. If you've got questions for my guest, Amotala and Maureen, feel free to also drop them. I will take them as well. 0700-993-993-993. I think we have about 3 minutes before our first break on the show today. It's 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. That number is exclusively for the female callers only. That's 01465-7190. Let's then begin with this caller and see who we've got people here. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, we can hear you. Good morning to you.
Okay, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, thanks to our guest on board. My name is Trinfer and I'm calling from Koka in Lagos.
You're welcome.
Please, can we get the, what are the real causes of this Parkinson's disease? I believe I joined you lately.
Okay.
We would like to know the causes so that we can amend to that and make a possible avoidance.
Right. Prince Ferdinand, thank you for calling me. What would you like to jump on that?
Yes, sure. Parkinson's disease, nobody really knows what the actual causes of Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
But researchers have found that there is likely a genetic and an environmental risk the factor associated with Parkinson's. So exposure to pesticides, toxic chemicals.
Okay.
And in some cases, genetics plays a role. But the most, the biggest cause of Parkinson's disease is increase in age. So the older you get, the more likely you are to have it. You talked about the population of those who are 65 and above.
That's right.
I think worldwide, the ratio is about between 1 to 2% of that population. Will get Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow. Wow, that sounds very scary.
And the percentage goes higher the age.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how this, if this has impacted you as a person in your day-to-day activities, and how have you been able to maneuver through this?
There are many layers of how Parkinson's disease has impacted me. There's the physical aspect, which is obvious because of the tremors that I experience. There's the rigidity and the slowness. So it takes me a considerable amount of time to get things done, and, you know, to type up a paper, to move around, to make some, you know, a cup of tea. It has, you know, a direct impact. But more than the physical symptoms that people can see, what affects me more are those symptoms that people can't see. There's anxiety, there's depression, there's apathy, there's cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. And these things have a tendency to make me feel very inadequate as an individual, as a wife, as a mother, as a friend, as just an, you know, a member of the society.
Yeah.
And these things are often more difficult to handle because people can't see. I mean, if my hands are shaking and, you know, you ask me to pass you a cup of tea, if it takes me a long time or I spill part of that tea, you understand, you can empathize because you can see what I'm physically going through. Mm-hmm. But these non-motor symptoms, people cannot see them. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to understand sometimes why maybe I'm not as organized as I should be, or I get anxious or get depressed sometimes.
Mm. Let's talk about support. How important is support to anyone impacted by it?
I'm so glad that you brought that question up. I do a lot of work in the part, you know, I've dedicated the last 5 years of my life into the Parkinson's disease cause. I cannot do that. I couldn't do half of the work that I do if I didn't have the love and the support of my family. If, you know, my husband, my parents, my children, support is extremely important. People with Parkinson's are not, and Mrs. Desalo would be able to explain that because she was a caregiver. Mm. It is impossible to navigate or manage this disease or live well with it. It's nearly impossible without the support and care of external, you know, family members and friends.
Mm. Maureen, you want to chip in on that?
Oh, yeah. I was just listening with rapt attention, but she's right. There's one of the therapies that is so important.
You know what we're going to do, Maureen? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to butt in. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the therapies in a moment, but we need to take this quick break. Yeah, okay. Let's just take this breather. Lagos, Nigeria, we'll be right back. We just need to take a breather and we'll be back with my two guests, Amatola and Maureen, and we're discussing Parkinson's disease. Do you join us again?
Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Lovely morning to you once again. 8:36 right now. It's the time from our studios. And we bid you welcome to the second part of the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Amatola is here. Omori Sojo is also here. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming through. So, Omori Sojo, let's continue from where we stopped. We're talking about support system, and you were about to say something.
Oh, I was talking about the therapies, and I was saying what I was going to say was one of the most important parts of the therapies, apart from exercise and possibly dance, boxing, is just occupational therapy. Hmm. The little things. Button your shirt, how to wear your shoes. These are things we all know. But when you have a neurodegenerative disease, these things become very difficult to do. And as Omotola talked about living somewhere where her socioeconomic status doesn't make a difference to what support she gets, my husband, Adeomide Salu, lived in Nigeria with a lot of support. So we had a lot of support in the house, nursing care. Even before we needed nursing care, just him going to work with a shadow and just, you know, eyeing me and saying, I don't want anybody following me. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, no, they're not following you. You're just there, you know, trying to always produce friends for him. And he's going somewhere and I'm looking for somebody and saying, oh, are you going to go out with him on Saturday? Yeah. And he looks at me and he says, is he really coming with me because he wants to come with me? Or you're sending him with me to catch me, you know? And I'm like, no, he's just your friend. So he had a friend playing golf with him. You know, there was always somebody there. And that person got the memo on once he starts to fiddle, help him. Mm. Uh-huh. And now looking back to the Nigerian community and to a lower working class person who may not have access to that kind of support, it's the little things that are the most challenging. Just tying your shoelace, getting your food from one place to the other,
right,
without actually losing it by shaking off, using the bathroom. If you're living in a multi-tenanted property, for example, how does everybody understand that this person is going to be in the shower for a long time, trying to get clean? Whatever, just those, it's the little things. It's the invisibles as well. I mean, they're visible, but invisible. Those are the things that are causing difficulty. Writing your name, you lose the ability to write large letters.
Yeah.
It's called micrographia.
Okay.
And then eventually you can't, you may not be able to sign your checks. Then there's executive function challenges as well, where decisions are actually becoming questionable. And more and more.
Would you like to say the more and more?
Oh, no, no, no. As in, you know, and there's a lot, and there's a whole lot more of it as well.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Omori Sojo. It's 8:39. I want to go to social media and take some reactions that we have here. Bolan Akibami says, kudos to the foundations and Nigeria Info for highlighting this disease and for the beautiful lady. Bravo and kudos. I have two beautiful ladies here, excuse me. Maximum says it's advisable that a person living with this neurological disease should embark on brain tasking and physically demanding endeavors. I think that has been mentioned already. Now, those are from Facebook. Let's take YouTube, then I'll come to the telephone. Olufunke Idu says, I went to high school with Omotola. And she was my first contact with early onset of Parkinson's. I thought it was an old age disease. She was really educated. She really educated me by her way of life, the tenacity to win. Do you know her?
Yes.
Ah, wow. Simply put. Okay, nice to hear. Let's get back to the telephone and hear. We get some more calls in. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Morning, sir.
Yes, good morning. We can hear you. Please go on. Your name is?
My name is Togbe Joshua.
Welcome, Mr. Togbe. Welcome.
Yes, sir. From Obalende Ikoyi.
All right. Let's hear you.
I'm the one that called you that last time.
Okay.
That last week.
Okay.
Respect of my son.
Okay.
Which I told you that the boy...
Last week Thursday, right?
Last week Thursday.
Yes. I asked you to do something. Did you do it?
No, I did not hear you before the thing cut off.
Oh, I thought you were listening to the radio. I asked you to, you know, stick to your doctor's advice. Whatever the doctor told you, know, you said that you are receiving treatment. So I said you should take the doctor's advice very seriously and follow it through. That's what I told you. Mr. Togbe, do you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just follow the doctor's advice. There's no need to look for any other thing. Follow your doctor's advice strictly. Sure. Is that okay?
Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you so much for calling me. Appreciate it. We have joining us right now our third guest who has just walked in. We sincerely apologize. Lagos can be like that sometimes. Because one moment the traffic is clear, the next moment you're struggling to find your way out of the mess that we have in our traffic. We have joining us right now Guy Deacon, a retired Army colonel with Parkinson's disease. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. Good morning.
Mr. Guy, how are you?
Living the dream. I'm well and I'm enjoying myself in Nigeria.
Let's talk briefly about, let me take Monsuru. Monsuru is on the line, then I'll come to you, Mr. Guy. Monsuru, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, this is Monsuru from Okoroja.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I want to suggest something because about 5 years ago,
okay,
7 years, I think I was trying to have something like that I find it very difficult to stand up from the bed.
Okay.
And after some times, my mind was just went to this, we call it prophetic medicine. So fortunately, I have the quiet at home, which is what everybody knows. That is olive oil. And there's another one called black seed oil. I started using this, and magically, my condition started to improve. And within short time, it was over.
Okay.
So I don't know how it works, but I still recommend it because I'm telling you now, I'm doing things easily on my own. I'm 53 already now,
okay.
And the time it happened, it was about, I think I was about just 40 plus. Then.
Okay. All right, Monsieur, I hear you. As a matter of fact, it's one of the areas that we're still going to go as to whether there is alternative medicines application to there are some diseases. Okay, well, let me not jump the gun. Mr. Guy, let me come to you. Let's see. Let's talk about your experience with Parkinson's. How has it been?
I was diagnosed about 11 years ago, okay. And it very, very slowly creeps up on you. So day by day, you don't really notice it. And then suddenly you think to myself, there are all these things I can't do that I used to be able to do. And then you have to sort of start living with it and understanding it and coping with it. But the early years were not so bad. But now many things are very difficult. And all the simple things that people take for granted take a lot more concentration than they should. Yeah. And that consumes effort and time and thinking power. And it stops you thinking about other things. And that's the complication of it, really. Yeah. Everything from walking to dressing to combing your hair, all these things are more difficult than they should be. And it's very frustrating.
Mm. I'm sorry about that. Amotala said similar things earlier. But let's talk about how you've been able to cope with it. I know that you've just said that it can be frustrating sometimes. But what made it somewhat manageable for you, easier for you? Could it have been the meds or support around you? I mean, I'm asking this question just so that someone listening to us right now can at least learn from your own experience and how you've been able to maneuver your way. 11 years, that's some great feat right there. How have you been able to handle it? How have you been able to manage it?
The most important thing is to not do more than you're capable of doing at any one time and to be sensible about your daily ambitions of what you're trying to achieve. Because if you try and do too much, then you will not necessarily be able to achieve it. And that's frustrating. The other really important thing is to make sure people around you understand how you're feeling and what's really going on so they can help you. Because it's very difficult sometimes to ask for help, and we all need help. And those who are nearest to you and love you and live with you all the time, if they know what you're going through, they will just be able to think for you a bit and make life a little bit easier in terms of the way they prepare food for you to eat, the way they lay out the house so you don't trip over things, the way they arrange your clothes and everything so you can get into them easily, the way that they do everything just to make your life a bit easier. And if people understand what people are going through with Parkinson's, and then they can cope, and it's very simple things which make life easier, really.
Indeed. Mota, let's talk about whether I'm sure you must have seen many experts, if not many, at least you have quite a number of people that you work with that are experts in this field. Have you ever been told or heard that there's a cure for Parkinson's disease?
No, currently there is no known cure for Parkinson's disease. There are a lot of promising disease-modifying therapies, but as of now, I'm not aware of any cure for Parkinson's disease, which is one of the things that makes it a really tricky illness because it doesn't, you know, there's no known cause or cure. So it's like, how do you manage, how do you deal with this type of illness? It's very difficult and challenging.
Amori Sojo, let me come to you at this juncture as to what the other caller said about alternative medicine or something. What's your reaction to that?
I was bemused. It is not that I am a person with no faith. I am also a person of faith. And I've read in the Bible where Jesus Christ said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." And if you are very sure or you feel strongly that this is my cure and you hold on to it, you might be lucky and get that cure from it. More importantly, I don't know the circumstances of the person who was speaking or what exact symptoms he had. Because also, you know, I've had a twitch in my eye in the past, or which was stress. You could also have tremors from stress as well.
Yeah.
So we don't know if what he's talking about is what we are talking about.
Mm.
But like Omotola said, what we are talking about, there is no known cure for it. However, I have made comments in the electronic media that we don't know if the answer to Parkinson's or the cure for Parkinson's is in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if we've talked about the leaves in the bush and we've talked about all the herbs in the Iliwiomo section of every market in Yoruba land.
Mm.
We don't know if there's a concoction somewhere that can cure this. We spoke to a patient 2 weeks ago who said he's out in Uyo, Akwa Ibom State, and I said, when are you coming back? And he said, oh, I've just started my treatment. And I said, what treatment? And he says, oh, they say, my people say this is an easy one.
Oh, wow.
However, I talked about the complications of what could happen here because he's taking Western medication. He's taken his pack of Western pills down to Akwa Ibom State, and now he's taking whatever it is that they're giving to him. So I don't know if they're incantations. I don't know if it's physiotherapy in some native way or the other. Until he comes back, we don't really know.
You know, the reason I asked you this question is the connection between our culture, our tradition, and some ailments. There seems to be some kind of, even you would see, like you have said, you would see a very educated person who would tell you that, now, I'll go and use that as against going to the hospital, for instance. And you can't even, maybe it's not even a complicated, maybe as basic as headache or
malaria
or something. I mean, how do we begin to, I mean, I love what your foundations are doing, Parkinson's Africa and Desalu Foundation, Parkinson's Foundation. I love it. But how can we expand the awareness to tell people to, to inform people? This is one, but what more can we do?
Bingo. We talk about research. And at the end of the day, if we do not put money into research, we are not going to find the point where some things merge. And we're not going to poo-poo what they're doing because we don't understand it. So it's important that we actually try and unpack what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, use some scientific methods to categorize, to classify, to patent when we get the cure, you know, from them. We don't know. And we don't know. There are so many old men in the bushes in Nigeria who know these leaves. So we have a botanical name for the leaf, but they have a native name for the leaf. And they will tell you, oh, this at this temperature does this. This, if it's frozen, does this. This, if we leave it out in the dew. And then, oh, don't use it in the afternoon. If you put it out in the dew in the morning and then you grind it, this is what it does. But all of that information is going to die with the generations until we document them. And unless we document them. And what I say to people now, somebody said, oh, I have a whole book of some notes that my father has made because of what he used to do. He was a local, we call them witch doctor, babalawo, whatever. But somebody who solves problems for other people in a village. And now, you know, it's like, oh, I need to write this down. And I say, no, just record them. We all have smartphones now. Just record them. Let them tell you what it is that they're doing.
Right.
So, but you know, you and I know, you know, one quarter of the nail of a wall gecko,
a little tiny pig, this one,
little blood from a sparrow, and this and that. But all of that, we don't know. We're not going to say it doesn't work because it just might work. So we need to put money into research. And we know that there's a lot of international organizations that are actually very interested in research in Africa. Motola will tell you a little bit more about that. And they're willing to put the money in, but it's not just for talk. We've got to do this scientifically.
Right. Motola, I need to come to you because we're gradually wrapping up. There's a walk coming up.
Yes.
Tell us about the walk. Awareness walk, right?
Yes, we have an awareness walk this weekend where to in honor of Guy Deacon's visit, but just walking to raise awareness of Parkinson's disease. I will be there. We'll have a few other Parkinson's patients as well. And what we're really trying to do is let people see that, you know, even with the shakes, the tremors, the rigidity and the physical symptoms, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, you have Parkinson's, it's what it is. We want people who are affected by the illness not to feel stigmatized, not to feel like they have to hide right. or they have to be ashamed. And we want to let the community know what Parkinson's looks like so that they are not traumatized is a strong word, but so that they understand what it is.
Right, right. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much. This is where we'll leave it today. Amotala Thomas, the founder of Parkinson's Africa, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
Dr. Guy Deakin, retired Colonel, retired Army Colonel with Parkinson's disease. Guy Deakin, thank you so much for coming around. Appreciate it, even though you're delayed a bit by Lagos traffic. Thank you for coming through. I'd also like to thank Mrs. Amorin Sojo Desalu, Chair Board of Trustees, Adeomi Desalu, Parkinson's Foundation. Thank you so much, madam, for coming. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Lagos, that's our show today. Next week, Thursday, is another time to talk another issue. I won't let it out now. If you follow me on social media, you'd know in due time. I'm Sharif Quadri. Many thanks to the team that work behind the scenes. You can follow me on social media. I'm Sharif Quadri on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, across all social media platforms. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 a.m. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.